You know, God is doing a miracle, especially in the Middle East. He is revealing himself to people that are in false religions. He is revealing himself in visions to people. And multitudes of people are coming to the Lord that have never even been spoken to, or at least accurately, about the New Testament, about what Jesus did, about the real gospel. And the Lord is revealing himself to them. I say pray, pray. You know, I mean, even if there's nobody there, that doesn't mean God can't reach them. I mean, pray that God extend his kindness and mercy. You know, we only have one try at this, you know. This is our last shot, you know. And so it's very, very important that all of the elect hear the word and come running, right? Well, I got an example of that here. In fact, I think I shared this back in 2003. But there was some argument about this particular testimony here. And but I think I have discovered some things concerning it. You know, there are people that if God does reveal himself to a Jew or a Muslim, you know, there's plenty of people around them that are willing to say they're crazy, you know, or it really didn't happen that way or whatever. You know, they're going to send out a lot of disinformation because they don't want any credit to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The devil's got his children out there that are doing anything they can. And I think that's what this is all about, too. This is a revelation that was given to probably the oldest rabbi alive, I'm guessing, 108 years old. Well, he died back then, so he's not 108 anymore, but he was 108 years old, and God revealed his name to him. He revealed some things about the Messiah to him that are totally not according to the teaching of the Jews. But some of the things he said were according to the teaching of the New Testament and the teaching of the Bible. And a lot of Christians didn't believe so. They thought that the Messiah that revealed himself to this rabbi was the false Messiah. Of course, they've got an idea that there is a false Messiah. They don't know that that the beast comes up out of the pit just like the Christ comes down out of heaven, right? We're born from above, they're born from beneath. And they just take on corporate bodies of people. So the majority of Christians don't know that. So their fairy tales that they've been listening to don't enable them to understand what happened to this man. But I'm going to read just a little bit to you and see what you think. I'll leave it up to you. You know, I'm not going to make up your mind for you. But it says, shortly before he died, one of Israel's most prominent rabbis wrote the name of the Messiah on a small note, which he requested would remain sealed until now. When the note was opened, it revealed what many have known for centuries. Yahushua, or Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. A few months before he died, one of the nation's most prominent rabbis, I don't know why it duplicated here, Yitzhak Kaduri, supposedly wrote the name of the Messiah on a small note, which he requested would remain sealed until now. And when the note was unsealed, it revealed what many have known for centuries, that Jesus is the Messiah. With the biblical name of Jesus, the rabbi and Kabbalist described the Messiah using six words and hinting that the initial letters form the name of the Messiah, the secret note said. Now, some people say, well, he was a Kabbalist, and you can't really, you know, put much. Well, listen, folks, I mean, what is anybody when the Lord reveals himself to them? What are they? I mean, can you set much stock in what they say or what they do before the Lord reveals himself unto them? But isn't the Lord revealing himself to all types and all kinds and all around the world? Yes, he is. He's choosing people from everywhere. So the fact that what he was and what he studied has nothing to do with what he became after a revelation of the Lord was given to him, if that's what you think. Okay, I'll let you make up your mind. Well, concerning the letter, abbreviation of the Messiah's name, this is what the note said. Concerning the letter abbreviation of the Messiah's name, he will lift the people and prove that his word and law are valid. Well, amen to that. He is certainly going to do that. This I have signed in the month of mercy, Yitzhak Kaduri. The Hebrew sentence translated above in bold with the hidden name of the Messiah reads, now I can't really read that very well, Yerim Ha'am, never mind, I'm not even going to try it. Let's see. The initials spell the Hebrew name of Jesus, Yahashua. Yahashua and Yeshua are effectively the same name, derived from the same Hebrew root of the word salvation, as documented in Zechariah 6:11 and Ezra 3:2. The same priest writes in Ezra, Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, while writing in Zechariah, it's Yahashua, son of Jehozadak. The priest adds the holy abbreviation of God's name, Ho, in the father's name, Jehozadak, and in the name Yeshua, with one of Israel's most prominent rabbis indicating the name of the Messiah is Yeshua, it's understandable why his last wish was to wait 1 year after his death before revealing what he wrote. He obviously wanted time for a cooling off period for his family, I'm sure, since they were all Orthodox type Jews too. Well, when the name of Yahashua appeared in Kaduri's message, ultra-Orthodox Jews from his Nahalat, Yitzhak, or Yeshiva, which is a seminary, in Jerusalem, argued that their master did not leave the exact solution for decoding the Messiah's name. The revelation received scant coverage in the Israeli media. Only the Hebrew websites, News First Class, NFC, and Kaduri.net mentioned the Messiah note, insisting it was authentic. Now, that was his own website, and it says the Hebrews Daily ran a story on the note, but described it as a forgery. Jewish readers responded on the website forums with mixed feelings. So this means that Rabbi Kaduri was a Christian, quote, and, quote, the Christians are dancing and celebrating, unquote, were among the comments. Israel Today spoke to two of Kaduri's followers in Jerusalem who admitted that the note was authentic, but confusing for his followers as well. Quote, we have no idea how the rabbi got to this name of the Messiah, unquote, one of them said. Yet others completely deny any possibility that the note is authentic. Kaduri's son, Rabbi David Kaduri, said at the time the note was written, September of 05, his father's physical condition made it impossible for him to write. Kaduri's portrayal of the Messiah. It says, a few months before Kaduri died at the age of 108, he surprised his followers when he told them that he met the Messiah. Kaduri gave a message in his synagogue on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, teaching how to recognize the Messiah. He also mentioned that the Messiah would appear to Israel after Ariel Sharon's death. The former prime minister is still in a coma after suffering a massive stroke more than a year ago, it says. Other rabbis predict the same, including Rabbi Haim Cohen, Kabbalist Nur Ben Artzi, and the wife of Rabbi Aim Kanevsky. Kaduri's grandson, Rabbi Yosef Kaduri, said his grandfather spoke many times during his last days about the coming of the Messiah and the redemption through the Messiah. His spiritual portrayals of the Messiah, reminiscent of New Testament accounts, were published on the website Kaduri.net and NFC. It's hard for many good people in society to understand the person of the Messiah, he wrote. He said the leadership and the order of a Messiah of flesh and blood is hard to accept for many in the nation. Well, I guess so. You know, they really didn't believe that, do they? As a matter of fact, many Christians only believe that when Jesus comes again, the only way he's coming is in the sky, right? not in flesh and blood. But that's not what this man saw. I'll read that again. He said, the leadership and order of a Messiah of flesh and blood is hard to accept for many in the nation. As leader, the Messiah will not hold any office, but will be among the people. Now, let me point something out to you for those who have said that this man, because he was a Kabbalist, was probably viewing the Antichrist rather than the Messiah. That it says, he said that he would not hold any office. Well, folks, I would say the beast and the Antichrist will definitely hold an office. But Jesus did not. You know, he wasn't officially holding any office when he came the first time. And I don't suspect it'll be any different this time. And I know some of you Christians out there are wondering, now, what is he talking about? How is Jesus coming if he's not coming in the sky? Well, according to the Bible, he's coming in his people before he comes for his people. The Bible says, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, there's quite a bit of teaching in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament that there is going to be a repetition. You know, in fact, I'm going to point something out to you here. If you look at Micah, for instance, just so that you will understand what I'm saying here, okay? Micah chapter 5, in verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall one come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." He said that was the Messiah. Yes, it was. It certainly was the Messiah. And it was written in their Hebrew, too. "Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And that was Jesus. But then verse 3 says, "Therefore will he give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth." So, and of course, he did give them up because they were broken off of the olive tree of all Israel. And at that time, of course, the church was grafted in, according to Romans chapter 11. Read it for yourself. "She who travaileth hath brought forth." This is the time that he was no longer going to give them up. He will give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. And we know in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, it speaks about the woman in travail bringing forth the man-child. The man-child is the first fruits in our day, just as Jesus was the first fruits in his day. The man-child is Jesus manifested in a group of the first fruits. You know what fruit is? Fruit is Jesus Christ in us, right? You know, the sower went forth and sowed the seed, and the seed was sown into the heart of man in Matthew 13. And it brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the seed was the seed of the Messiah, the Word of God. And it brought forth His fruit in them, you see. So, she who travaileth that brings forth, at the beginning of the tribulation there in Revelation chapter 12, is the man-child is called, and he's the first fruits, and it is Jesus coming in flesh, and Jesus being manifested in the flesh of his people. In fact, the Bible says that anyone that denieth that Jesus cometh in the flesh, that was a long time after Jesus came in the flesh, I might add, in 2 John, that's Antichrist. Did you hear what I said? Those that do not believe that Jesus cometh in the flesh, future tense, 2 John, that's Antichrist. That's what he says. So, we have to believe that Jesus is coming just as the Bible says, as an epiphany. You know, there's two words used in the New Testament for the coming of Jesus, epiphany or phaneru, which means the shining forth from or out of, right? Epiphany is shining out of, right? And then there is the parousia, which is the coming of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, his coming at the end, right? So if you have to look carefully at what word they use, but we can see from that very plainly that Jesus is coming in his people before he comes for his people. So, she who travaileth is brought forth. Then the residue of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Now that confuses a lot of people. But the residue, the remnant of his brethren, that is the Jews, are going to return to the children of Israel. How does that work? Well, it's because, do you know who an Israelite is in the New Testament? We're told that all Israel are those, even Gentiles, who are grafted into the olive tree in Romans chapter 11. And we're told that he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. He's a Jew who's one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart, not one outwardly in the circumcision of the flesh. So a Jew is not who man says a Jew is. A Jew is who God says. And God says you have to be born again to be a Jew in the New Testament. So now you know, you can understand why the remnant of his brethren, that is the natural Jew, is going to return to the children of Israel. Because they were broken off of the olive tree called all Israel. So they're going to be returning. They're going to be, according to Romans 11, they're going to be grafted back in to their olive tree. Praise God. And we should be praying for that. Because the Bible says there in that text that when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that's when these Jews are going to return. Praise God. But notice, at that time, which is our time, which is the end time, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, that's when it says in verse 4 that he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He shall stand and feed his flock. The Lord Jesus in Ezekiel 34 said he was going to feed his own flock. He wasn't no longer going to leave it up to the false shepherds. He was going to make sure it was done right this time. Well, how is he going to do that? Well, it's very simply. He is coming in his first fruits leadership, just like he did in the time of Jesus. You see, Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews, a body thou didst prepare for me. That was Jesus speaking in Hebrews chapter 1. What does it mean? It means that Jesus, the Son of God, came in a body of the Son of David. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. It wasn't the body that was the Son of God. It was the one who dwelt in the body that was the Son of God. Just as it is with you and I, it's not this body that's the Son of God, it's the Son of Man. And Jesus made that very plain, that the one that they saw was the Son of Man. The one they couldn't see on the inside was the Son of God. So once again, God not only did that with an individual body, not only did Jesus do this with an individual body, but he did it with his corporate body, called the body of Christ. To a more or less extent, the Lord is coming in his body of flesh in the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's why we're able to do wondrous things in his name, because it's him doing it, not us. And the more of the Word lives in you, the more Jesus lives in you. Because he is the Word, what? Made flesh. And now it says, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Amen. And also, Hosea chapter 6 tells us, after a falling away in Hosea 5 and 15, once again, we're seeing it's the same text, because he says, I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their affliction they will seek me earnestly. The Lord Jesus said he was going away and he wasn't coming back until they sought his face. Oh, they're going to seek their Messiah, because let me tell you, the heat is being turned up even now. And it's going to be turned up to the boiling point. And many are going to cry out to the Lord. And guess what? The real Messiah is going to come to them. And in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Wow, you know, this is true of both natural Israel and spiritual Israel. You see? Because there's been a great falling away for both. And verse 2, and after 2 days he will revive us. And on the third day he will raise us up. And here we are on the third day. According to Peter, a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1 day. And we're now on the third day from the last Adam, Jesus Christ. We're also on the seventh day from the first Adam, Adam. Right? So after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live before him. Let us know. Let us follow on to know the Lord. His goings forth is as sure as the morning. Now you have the morning of the third day, which is where we are now, right? And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Notice it didn't say he's coming in the clouds. It said he was coming as the rain. The latter rain. What was the former rain? The former rain was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon God's people. And what happened in the former rain? Well, the Holy Spirit stood up in God's people to manifest Jesus Christ in them. See, it has nothing to do with him coming in the clouds. It has to do with him coming with a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his people. God's going to finish off the work he started by an outpouring called the latter rain. Jesus was the first to have the former rain. He taught for 3.5 years. He breathed on the disciples and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He imparted that mantle, that anointing. And 10 days later, it came upon the disciples. That anointing blessed them. And guess what? They started calling them Christians because they recognized Jesus. The people recognized Jesus in these people. They called them Christians. So you see, Jesus is coming in his people before he comes for his people. Some people say there's nothing left for the rapture to happen. I got news for you. There's several things left before the rapture can happen. Number one, if the rapture happened today, lots of people would be in deep trouble. So, and number two, the rapture's not going to happen in the beginning of the tribulation period. It's never happened that way throughout history. It's always happened at the end. And there are many types and shadows of this. It's always after the 7 years, not before. And he says, he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. How is Jesus coming? He is coming by a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to finish off the 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he is going to walk among us in people, in some people that he calls the first fruits. See, history just keeps on repeating. So the funny thing about what Kaduri saw was basically what we read in the Gospels. Isn't that interesting? He saw a Messiah come in the way he came in the Gospels. Now that's interesting. Years, many, many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, everything that happened in the Gospels is about to happen again, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over, meaning that Jesus is not coming in an individual body this time. He's coming in a corporate body. And, by the way, the beast is coming that way too. It's not an individual Roman beast empire that conquers little Israel. It's a corporate beast empire which incorporates all previous beast empires into one. 7 heads. Because the church and spiritual Israel is now worldwide. So God is doing the same thing on a much larger scale. And so what Kaduri saw was a Messiah with flesh and blood. He said it was hard to accept by the Jews. He said this Messiah won't hold any office, but will be among the people, like Jesus was, right? He didn't come to be a king, but he will be among the people and use the media to communicate. I heard one person say, well, Jesus never used the media. What do you mean he didn't use the media? I mean, he spoke to thousands of people. He used the media of his voice at the very least. What is the difference if you stand behind a microphone? I have no idea. You know, why people could pick out things like that. What's the difference? He is going to speak through multitudes of people in these days. First the first fruits and then those that are raised up by the first fruits. Well, this is what this man saw. He saw Jesus coming in this way. Well, nobody's denying that he's ultimately going to come at the end with his saints, just exactly the way the Bible says. But many people deny that Jesus is coming in the flesh. And that's what the Bible says. Let me read that to you. 2 John 7. For many deceivers have gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Well, folks, I can tell you there's just a church on every corner that says exactly this, that Jesus is not coming in the flesh again. And we know, personally, he's not coming in the flesh when he comes physically and personally, because that's not flesh. He's got a glorified body. But this says that he's coming in the flesh. And by the way, it's taught all the way through the New Testament that he is coming in the flesh of his body, his people. They are his flesh. And so it tells you very plainly, I'll read it to you again, many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive the full reward. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Remember that. Because there are multitudes of so-called Christian organizations out there that do not abide in the teaching of Christ. And it says here, they have not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, you're cast forth as a branch, right? You're gathered up and thrown into the fire. But the Bible says in 1 John 2, if that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, folks, we have to have the exact same doctrine that Jesus gave in the beginning. And if not, we're not abiding in the Son. And if you're not abiding in the Son, you won't bear fruit, he said. So this is very important. I'll go back to Kaduri's statement here. He said, as leader, the Messiah will not hold any office, but will be among the people and use the media to communicate. His reign will be pure and without personal or political desire. Well, that was Jesus, right? He didn't want any office. He didn't want any position. All he wanted to do was bless the people, right? He didn't have any personal lust to rule as they thought their Messiah should. They thought he was going to come and take over the government, you know, and give them authority over the Romans and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? Antichrist is just that way. I mean, there is a body in the earth today, an antichrist body, a beast, if you will, that is just that. It's everybody seeking their own. They're all sons of the devil. And they all seek to climb the ladder, stepping on the heads of everybody else, right? And he goes on to say, during his dominion, only righteousness and truth will reign. Quote, will all believe in the Messiah right away? Kaduri asks. And he answers, no. In the beginning, some of us will believe in him and some not. Notice, he's talking about a Messiah coming that teaches, that communicates with the people. Not just in the sky, like lightning. Of course, we know he's coming that way. But he got a revelation of the Messiah coming in flesh. He says, no, in the beginning, some of us will believe in him and some not. It will be easier for non-religious people, listen to this, it will be easier for non-religious people to follow the Messiah than for Orthodox people. Hey, that's always been the case, hasn't it? I mean, first of all, when the Jews would not receive him, he went to the Gentiles. Isn't that rather amazing, right? And it's still that way today. You go to religious people, oh no, they don't want to hear it, man. They've already made up their mind. They've already, you know, put down their box. But you just go to the lost people and they gladly listen sometimes. So he said it'll be easier for the non-religious people to follow the Messiah than for Orthodox people. Well, that's the way it was in Jesus' day. That's why so many got broke off of their olive tree and so many just worldly people were grafted in. He went on to say, The revelation of the Messiah will be fulfilled in two stages. First, he will actively confirm his position as Messiah. And I'm believing he's talking about here by his works and by his words. He will prove who he is. But he goes on to say, without knowing himself, that he is the Messiah. Nobody's going to be claiming to be the Messiah. There's not a group of people out there who are bearing the fruit unto Jesus Christ. They're all going to be running around saying, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah. No, they're not. They're all going to be saying Jesus is the Messiah. And it's not my works or my power that I do these things. You remember the apostles when they healed the lame man? Hey, don't look on us as though we, by our own power, we did this miracle. They're not taking any credit for what the Lord is doing, you see. But now, the false messiahs, they don't have any problem going around claiming to be false messiahs, do they? We've been seeing them for years, haven't we? So notice, he's not saying that they're going to be claiming to be the Messiah. He's just saying they're going to be confirming his position as a Messiah, okay, without knowing himself that he is the Messiah. Then he will reveal himself to some Jews, not necessarily to wise Torah scholars. See, I mean, this old man had some wisdom here, you know. He knew it was very unusual for the Lord to reveal himself to the scholars. Now, I can tell you the overwhelming majority of New Testament Bible scholars will not recognize him. I'm talking about the people who are reputed to be the theologians. They will not recognize him. Again, history repeats. Remember, the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Meaning that it's just as I said, it's going to be all repeated. History repeated. Larger scale, but history repeated. And we know from history that it has been repeated. Look how many times the beast kingdom has been raised up. The larger ones are listed in the Bible. The smaller ones, even though they're mentioned, you know, like the Philistines and so on and so forth, they're not a major player, so they're not mentioned in Daniel's revelation or in Revelation. But the Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, these are mentioned. And, of course, a revived Rome in our day, these are mentioned as the seven heads and the ten horns, right? So we know that history is repeating. I mean, with every one of those beast kingdoms, God's people did not escape. They did not. It was because they were in rebellion against God that he raised up that kingdom to bring them to the cross. And it's the same today. Christians who believe that Christianity is everything it's supposed to be, these are people that don't read the Bible. And he said, not to the wise Torah scholars he's going to reveal himself. He said it can be even be to the simple people. Only then he will reveal himself to the whole nation, meaning, of course, at the end, right? After he's through revealing himself to the simple people and those that will receive him, then he's going to reveal himself to the nation. Well, that's what we know the Scriptures clearly says. The people will wonder and say, what? That's the Messiah? Yeah, you know. Of course, they would have said the same thing in 2,000 years ago, and they did. What? That's the Messiah? He doesn't look very kingly. You know, he doesn't look like what we expected. He doesn't look like what our scholars told us he would be like. You know? He goes on to say, many have known his name, but have not believed that he is the Messiah. Now, why would that old man say that? Many have known his name. Who is it out there now? I mean, you're talking about a Jew here, an Orthodox Jew, and who is it out there that claims to have believed the Messiah's name? Well, there's only one, Jesus, right? And but there are many that have not believed that he is the Messiah. He's talking about his own people. Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri was known for his photographic memory and his memorization of the Bible, the Talmud, Rashi, and other Jewish writings. He knew Jewish sages and celebrities of the last century and rabbis who lived in the Holy Land and kept the faith alive before the state of Israel was born. Kaduri was not only highly esteemed because of his age of 108, He was charismatic and wise. And chief rabbis looked up to him as a tzaddik or a righteous man or a saint. He would give advice and blessings to everyone who asked. Thousands visited him to ask for counsel or healing. His followers speak of many miracles, and his students say that he predicted many disasters. And when he died, more than 200,000 people joined the funeral procession on the streets of Jerusalem to pay their respects as he was taken to his final resting place. When he comes, the Messiah will rescue Jerusalem from foreign religion. This is one of his statements here, one of Kaduri's statements. He says, when he comes, the Messiah will rescue Jerusalem from foreign religions that want to rule the city. And, you know, that's exactly true. I mean, the foreign religions want to make their capital there in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we know that the scriptures teach us when the feet of the Messiah touch the Mount of Olives that it splits. And Olives was called the Mount of Corruption. Why was it called that? Well, because of all the shrines that are upon that mountain from the Eastern and Western Roman Empire and Muslim. The Imbolc is a Muslim shrine, you know. The people, the religions, the false religions, including the false Christian religion, you know, is seeking that city, right? But he says the Messiah will rescue Jerusalem from the foreign religions. And they will not succeed, for they will fight against one another. Hey, that's a repetition of history, too. We know that's biblical. It was that way when Ammon and Moab and the children of Sur tried to take Jerusalem from the Jews. God rose up in the midst of them and caused them to kill one another off, didn't he? He's done that three times. So, I mean, what the man is saying so far seems to be very biblical. In an interview with Israel Today, Rabbi David Kaduri, the 80-year-old son of the late Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, denied that his father left a note with the name Yeshua just before he died. It's not his writing, he said, when he showed him a copy of the note. When we showed him a copy of the note. During the nighttime meeting in the Nahalat Yitzhak Yeshiva, the seminary that is, in Jerusalem, books with the elder Kaduri's writings from 80 years ago were presented to us in an attempt to prove that the Messiah note was not authentic. In other words, they tried to pull the wool over their eyes, you know. No, this is not his writing, so they took 80-year-old writings and used them, you know. And when we told Rabbi Kaduri that his father's official website, www.kaduri.net, had mentioned the Messiah note, he was shocked. Oh, no, that's blasphemy. The people could understand that my father pointed to him, the Messiah of the Christians. Yeah, well, that's what he was doing, exactly what he was doing. And I'm sure it was shocking to this Orthodox rabbi and a real threat to his reputation among the Jews. So David Kaduri confirmed, however, that in the last year, his father had talked and dreamed almost exclusively about the Messiah and his coming. He said, my father has met the Messiah in a vision, he said, and told us that he would come soon. But he also said all those other things I just got through reading, which is contrary to their doctrine. Israel Today was given access to many of the rabbi's manuscripts written in his own hand for the exclusive use of his students. Most striking were the cross-like symbols painted by Kaduri all over the pages. Now, why would he put crosses all over the pages? That's kind of anathema to the Jews, right? In the Jewish tradition, one does not use crosses. In fact, even the use of a plus sign is discouraged because it might be mistaken for a cross. Wow. So he puts them all over his pages, right? His writings. But there they were, scribbled in the rabbi's own hand. When he asked what those symbols meant, Rabbi David Kaduri said they were signs of the angel. Now, what does that mean? Well, pressed further about the meaning of the signs of the angels, he said he had no idea. And Rabbi David Kaduri went on to explain that only his father had had a spiritual relationship with God and had met the Messiah in his own dreams. Think about that statement here. Now, his son, who is denying that he identified Yeshua as the Messiah, said only his father had had a spiritual relationship with God and had met the Messiah in his dreams. Well, I guess if I was going to ask somebody, I'd go to the guy that had the spiritual relationship with God, right? And met the Messiah. Orthodox Jews around the yeshiva told Israel Today a few weeks later that the story about the secret note of Rabbi Kaduri should never have come out, and that it had damaged the name, the revered old man. Well, maybe not. Not in the eyes of the people that count, right? Praise be to God. I think this is very neat. I'd love to put this on the site and make a few little notes in it if the Lord gives me time to do that. It's very, very interesting, folks. Jesus is coming. Not the way they expect this time either, because history repeats. You know, there's going to be a great falling away of the Christians. Those, the kind of people that wouldn't recognize the Messiah nor accept the Messiah, just as this old man said. And they didn't in Jesus' day, and they won't in this day. And this doesn't give credit to any flesh. Jesus didn't give credit to even the flesh of the Son of David. Have you noticed what the Scripture says? Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3. I'll start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Now, there's a lot of Christians that deny this, but it's telling you in black and white that it's true. Lots of Christians believe that there was something magical about Jesus' flesh. It wasn't quite human. Okay? But the Bible says, concerning his Son, who was of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Well, that's obvious. Jesus' flesh was the Son of David. Jesus' Spirit man was the Son of God. And by the way, Jesus himself said, that which is born of spirit is spirit, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. Meaning that Jesus' flesh was passed on down, just as the Bible says, through David. It was, according to Genesis, the seed of the woman that would crush the serpent's head. The seed of the woman. That was Mary. Go read Mary's genealogy, and you see that her genealogy was that of David. So you see, that was real flesh Jesus had. It was real flesh Jesus overcame. You know, the Bible said he was tempted in all points, just like us, except without sin. Well, how can you be tempted unless it's real flesh? A man's tempted when he's drawn away of his lust and enticed. Jesus inherited a body that still tempted him, but he overcame because of the spirit man on the inside, the one who ruled on the inside. And it should be that way with us, because we've been given authority by Jesus to rule over this flesh. And now we see something here, that this flesh doesn't get any credit. The seed of David couldn't take any credit. And the seed of David can't take any credit. It's the spiritual man, which is born from above, not the carnal man, that can take any credit. So no matter who Jesus comes to live in, the little kids used to sing little songs in their Sunday school about Jesus living in them. It seems like they have more sense than most of the scholars, that this is exactly what Jesus plans to do. He's going to come manifested in his people. Glory be to God. This is the good news. This is the good news, folks. We have no hope without that. We don't have the ability to be holy, to bear fruit, or anything. All of our ability comes from God.